to message 3, and that is the life study of Ephesians, message 62. I'll just read something here that Brother Lee said in this life study. This is in relation to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. It's a little too high, brothers. Turn it down a little. That's it. This is Ephesians Life Study Message 62, pages 520 and the following couple of pages. In this section where Paul speaks, the fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but nurture them in the discipline and admonition of the Lord. First, Brother Lee deals with the matter of provoking to anger. He says, whenever we respond to the children in anger, that provokes their anger. And nothing positive comes out of that. First, our anger, especially the father's, has to be dealt with by remaining under the cross. We have to go to the cross and stay there. But then he goes on to say, instead of provoking the children to anger, the fathers are to nurture them in the discipline and admonition of the Lord. To nurture children means to bring them up, to raise them by nourishing them. Raising the children requires that the parents give them the needed instruction related to human life, family life, and social life. The word admonition here includes instruction. Paul was probably referring to the Old Testament requirement that parents instruct their children with the Word of God. That's Deuteronomy 6, which we covered. This means that we are to teach our children with the Bible. Along with this instruction, we sometimes must discipline them, chastise them. It is crucial that parents learn to nurture the children in the discipline and admonition of the Lord. As parents, we must do our duty with respect to our children. This means that we should not only teach them, but also set up an example for them to follow. Just as the Lord Jesus sanctified himself for the sake of his disciples in John 17, so parents should sanctify themselves for the sake of their children. Those who do not have children may be free to do certain things, such as sleep late in the morning and so on. But those with children do not have the liberty to do those things. For the sake of their children, they must be restricted. Listen, children always imitate their parents. Therefore, it is the parents' responsibility to set up a high standard and a proper pattern and example for their children to follow. However, no matter how good an example is set by the parents, how the children develop depends on God's mercy. On the one hand, the parents must keep a high standard. On the other hand, they need to trust in the Lord. Day by day, we should tell him, Lord, these children are not mine. They are your possession, placed in my custody for a period of time. Lord, what I am doing with them is simply fulfilling my responsibility. How they will turn out, Lord, depends absolutely on your mercy. Then there's a following section about how it's possible for us to be selfish about our own children. And if we are too concerned about our own children, we may not get an answer to our prayer, but if we would care for other children, our children would receive some help. So this is quite a marvelous section in this life study, and I just wanted to add that as a supplement to this morning's outline. This is Life Study of Ephesians, Message 62, pages 520 and the following page. The reference is on the supplement to Message 2 at the end, on page 10 of your booklet. On page 10, you have Life Study of Colossians, Life Study of Ephesians. Okay? Then one other thing I would like to read to you is from Life Messages, Message 10. From Life Messages, Message 10. This was after the 1978 storm. Brother Lee gave these messages. Actually, this one began. This began during the storm. This was given in August 1978. And Brother Lee opened up for a time of questions at the beginning of these. If you haven't read Life Messages, get that book. Life Messages, it's entitled. And at the beginning, the first 10 or 15 or 20 or more messages, at the beginning of every message, Burley opened up for questions from the saints about a lot of things. And mingled all in here is a lot of things relating to children. I have a whole stack of them downstairs. I knew if I brought them up, we wouldn't get to this outline. So I brought one up. I want to read to you. Okay. This is a sister asking a question. As a new Christian and the mother of four children, I would like to know how much scriptural teaching I should impose on them and how much I should insist on their behaving properly. A good question, right? Very good question. Okay. This is Brother Lee's answer. This is a very practical matter. As human beings, we fell and need the Lord's salvation. After the fall, God came in to restrict man. For example, God imposed restrictions on the woman because the fall had come in through her. This restriction was actually a protection. In human society today, chaos would prevail were it not for the restraints of ethical teachings, the police, and the law courts. These have been ordained by God to limit the fallen race. Since our families are part of the fallen race, we as parents must exercise God's ordination to restrict our children by ethical teachings, regulations, and discipline. For proper human living in your home, you must teach your children to behave properly by honoring their parents, caring for their brothers and sisters, respecting their neighbors, and not stealing. Do not say that ethical teachings are apart from Christ and therefore worthless. The necessities of our human existence are one thing. The experiences of Christ are another. Let me read that again. Do not say that ethical teachings apart from Christ... Do not say that ethical teachings are apart from Christ and therefore worthless. The necessities of our human existence are one thing, the experiences of Christ another. For our human living, we must buy groceries, do laundry, lock our doors to prevent burglaries, be careful about fire, open and close windows, and cook and eat. Besides taking care of these earthly matters, we are also learning to experience Christ. These are two different areas. Both are needed. Very practical. Okay? Okay, that's the supplement this morning. Now we come to our practice. Our view, our children are for God. Right? Our responsibility is faithfulness. And our work is training, teaching, dispensing. Training and teaching with dispensing. Okay? Now we come to our practice. Well, I know we're going very fast. Each of these could be a conference, actually. So we'll just give the whole view this time, and then we'll see what the Lord does in the future. This afternoon, we come to our practice. Our practice is what? Meeting and visiting. I like this. Our practice is meeting and visiting with our children's work. The first thing we have is the Lord's Day children's meetings. And basically what I'm going to do is I'm going to read through the outline. I'm going to read you a few more things that Brother Lee has said. And then I'm going to ask some sisters who have worked on this, have some practical experience to share with you briefly some things. So that's what we'll do this afternoon. Then I don't have to do all the work this afternoon. Roman 1, Lord's Day Children's Meetings. The first thing is Lord's Day Children's Meetings. Gather all the children. That seems obvious, right? But listen, it's not obvious. Why? Because I found out in checking in many places, they don't have a list of all the children. How can you gather all the children if you don't have a list? When we came back in 1989, the first thing Brother Lee asked me is, how many children do we have? How many junior highers? How many high schoolers? And he said, do you have a list? Well, I have learned a few things. So I said, yes, Brother Lee, I have a list. We have a list. We know who they are. How can we gather them all if we don't know who they are? So we actually, at one point, we handed out to all the saints a census form to get the parents' name and address and phone number and all listing all the children by families. And we did it in all the languages. So we got a complete list. So we know who the parents are. We know the children's names, their ages, their date of birth is the crucial thing. We need a birth date, a school grade, and who their parents are. Then we have to stir up all the parents to cooperate, to bring the children, and to serve with the children. I agree that this is something that the brothers push off on the sisters, not just in the Chinese-speaking meeting. Our principle is this. Okay, in 1977, when Brother Lee asked us to do something about the children's meeting here, Brother Lee gave the opening word. And his opening word was, we had a fellowship, everyone came, we had a fellowship, brotherly said, number one, the children are the parents' responsibility, not the church's. You have to realize, as parents, we bear the primary responsibility for our children.
Amen.
Then number two, all the parents must serve. So once he said that, that solved our problem. Everybody served, right? And we handed out cards. All the brothers, all the sisters signed up. Eventually, some brothers were more profitably used in some other area, and we released them. But we do need brothers, especially when the boys start to get to the third, fourth, fifth grade. In these grades, they need brothers. They need some positive examples. So we have brothers and sisters serving in the children's work. So it is the obligation of the parents not only to bring the children but to serve with the children. Then we should visit the homes of those who don't come. This is where visiting comes in. We shouldn't just sit here waiting for everyone to come to us. We have a list. We keep accurate attendance records every week. And we discover who's not coming. Then we go to find them. We go to visit them.
Amen.
Then, fourthly, we encourage the children to bring their friends and neighbors. This is related to gaining increase. They can bring the neighborhood children. They can bring their friends. Okay, so the first thing is gathering them. And this needs work. We have to work on gathering them. Then we get them all, okay, and their friends. Then the first thing in the meeting time, after they're gathered, is have an opening time. Opening time is to open up not the spirit, but the hearts of the children. It's not to tell the children, turn to your spirit, where the spirit of Jesus is. The spirit of Jesus is not there yet. We're not turning our children to our spirit. We're opening up their hearts.
Right.
This is the purpose of opening time, to open their hearts, to have a time full of enjoyable singing, to open them up so that we can put something into them in the lesson time. The sisters will say more about this. In two levels, if we need it. Sometimes we find the older kids don't like to sing with the little kids, and so. But this depends on how many children you have and on your situation. One of the most enjoyable opening times I ever was in the church in Anchorage a number of years ago. And in that church, there were 16 adults and 24 children. So they made a decision to have their Lord's Table meeting on the Lord's Day evening and to have children's meeting on the Lord's Day morning. And all the parents came with all the children to an opening time. And the kids sat on the floor, and the parents sat around the room, and there were a couple, a brother and a sister there, singing with them. That was the most released, enjoyable opening time I've ever been in. And they got the parents jumping up. The song they were singing that day was Spring Up, O Well. You know, spring, and they had the choice. Spring up, O Well, within my heart. Spring up, O Well. And then you got all the parents going. It was wonderful. It was just a very enjoyable time. Now, that song, I'm not sold on that song, but the point is, it opened them up. Then they divided into classes, and the night before they had asked me to share something about the children's work, and I did. So that morning they said, okay, you teach the boys. Show us how. I haven't taught an 8 to 11-year-old boys class for years. In fact, I never did. So they said, anyway, you've been telling us how, now show us. So I did that morning. I got them there, and they told me what they were on. They gave me a little warning, about half an hour warning of what they were on. They were on Joseph and a certain aspect in Joseph's life in Potiphar's house. It was very good. So I gave a good They were so open from that opening time that speaking to them was not hard. And they were asking questions, and it was a marvelous time. It was really good. So I got very inspired about opening time. And that's a small church. The whole church had opening time. Then those who weren't serving, they went to do their other service. They took care of the accounting, and they took care of the book sales and the tapes and all the other service during the second part of the children's meeting. And then they had their meeting in the evening for the Lord's Table and prophesying. It was very, very good. Anyway, so we have to adapt to our situation. Okay, then a lesson time with a definite curriculum prepared level by level. to teach the children, A, how God created man for his purpose, but man became fallen and evil due to Satan's temptation, B, how everyone needs God and his salvation in Christ, and C, how they all need to grow up with a high standard of moral behavior and ethical character. And these points were given to us by Brother Lee. Okay. Point two. With the goal of leading all the children to be saved and baptized before entering junior high or middle school, point three, with weekly Bible memory verses. So this is a 10-year job now. This is all condensed into a few sentences, but this is what we do over a period of 10 years. But there must be a definite plan and a definite curriculum. The reason for this is that sometimes in the past, both in our children's work and our young people's work, the serving ones would pray, they would get a burden, and then they would come and do something. It was quite good. Then the next week, if they would pray again, they would get a burden, they would do something different. Eventually, this is like trying to build a building with bricks scattered all over the lot. Every week we bring a brick. It's something good. And we put it here. The next week we put a brick over here. Eventually, after a year, nothing is built up. Everything we've done is good, but it doesn't lead anywhere. It's not going anywhere. It's not building anything up.
Right.
So instead of that, we need to bring one brick and put it on top of another brick. We need to bring point by point, item by item, with a definite plan and a definite goal. Okay? So this is very, very crucial. Don't be so spiritual. We just be led by the Spirit. Well, you're led by the Spirit. If you were led by the Spirit concerning feeding your family, I think they would be hungry part of the time. Right? Brother Lee stressed very much, certain things we have to do in a legal way, a proper legal way, in a systematic way. How did Brother Lee accomplish so much? He decided in 74 to start going through the Bible. And he did it legally, book by book by book. And he's finished the whole New Testament, and this year he's going to finish the Old Testament, because he did it with a definite plan. He knew where he was going. First he's going to finish the New Testament, and then he's going to finish the Old Testament. It seems simple, but he worked according to a plan. In the New Testament life study days, Brother Lee knew he needed 4 months to prepare one life study. 4 months of 5 days a week, so many hours a day. He knew exactly how many days, how many hours he needed to prepare the outlines with the footnotes and the references. And he planned. And if part of his time was interrupted, one day I remember Brother Chang Wu Chen came from Taiwan to see him, and on a Wednesday morning he said to me, if I give Brother Chang 2 or 3 hours on Wednesday morning, I have to get that 2 or 3 hours back somewhere. Where can I get it back? Maybe I can get it back on Thursday night. In other words, he worked with a plan, and if his plan got interrupted, he was so concerned to fill up, to make up the number of hours he needed to get the job done. This is disciplined living, saints. This is why he's so productive at 90 years of age. So we need a plan. We shouldn't be more spiritual than Brother Lee. We need a plan. We need a definite plan. We have to have a time to prepare. We have to have a time to pray and fellowship and prepare. And we have to have a plan with a goal over 10 years. Okay. Then, D, have a time. Oh, memory verses. Let me say something. Memory verses are very, very crucial. But it's absolutely crucial for the children to memorize the reference with the verse. You think that's a small thing. My problem is I memorized so many verses when I was young without the references. So today I can remember the verses. I know that's on the left-hand side, two-thirds of the page down in my old Bible. Right? But so I always carry a concordance in my briefcase today. So that I remember the verse, then if I want to know where it is, I have to pull the concordance out and look it up. That's a shame. That's a shame. Because no one helped me to memorize the references with the verses. We should train the children to say the reference before and after the verse. We call it the address. You have to give the address of this verse. It seems a little mechanical, but believe me, in 20 or 30 years, they'll be thanking us for it. Okay. Memory verses are an important part. An important part. Don't think they're too young. Don't think they're too young. I found out I practiced on my grandchildren. I told my daughter, when we came back in 1989, some sisters told me, oh, kindergarten, you can't teach lessons or do memory verses with kindergarten, they're too young. So I told my daughter, Rebecca, I said, Becky, how about, let's practice. Let me tell you something. Where's my wife? When my grandson was how old? 3 years old. He could recite all the books of the Bible. Then, when he's 3 and a half, approaching 4, he memorized the 23rd Psalm. He would quote it to me over the phone from the East Coast. We were trying. And then his little sister behind him, man, she was coming up. And then the third one behind, she's even quicker than the first two. 2 and a half, she's memorizing verses. In the beginning, God. Okay, that's good enough for 2 and a half. In the beginning, God. That's very good. 2 and a half years old on the phone, she's telling me, Papa, in the beginning, God. They're not too young. That will be with them forever. Then I said, you're going to give me the 23rd Psalm today? He said, Papa, they call me Papa. He said, you know what I love the most? I said, what? He said, my cup runneth over. My cup runneth over. One day he's walking up the stairs. He's about 4 years old. He's walking up the stairs. His mother's taking him up for his nap. He stopped halfway up. He turned around and he said, Mama, he said, Abraham obeyed God. My goodness, 4 years old. Look what's getting put in. Don't believe that they're not capable. They can memorize commercial jingles. Junky stuff. They can memorize the Bible. Put God's word in them. From a babe, you have not. Okay, D, have a time for crafts and handwork for developing skills and character. Listen, crafts and handwork are not a waste of time, and they're not time fillers. If we do it properly, and the sisters will share about this, it will develop skill, it will develop patience, endurance, it will develop their character. Okay, E, have a storytelling time with Bible stories, stories from church history, biographies, stories from world history, biographies. When Brother Lee gave me this point, these points came from my fellowship with Brother Lee when he asked me to take care of this. He said, tell them the story about Abraham Lincoln and how, when he was a sales clerk, he overcharged someone 3 cents, and after work he walked 6 miles to return the 3 cents. My goodness, Burley, how do you know that? I never knew that story. He said, tell him these kind of moral character stories. This is worthwhile. We have to find them. You know, most children's books published before 1950. Very good. In the 30s, lots of stories with a moral to them. Recently, William Bennett, former Secretary of Education, put out a book of all these kind of moral stories called The Book of Virtues. It's a good source for stories from all kinds of sources with a moral to them. Not spiritual, but with a character moral to them. A character lesson to them. Then here's a suggestion which we haven't practiced very often. Have a video time with videos of children's meetings in all the churches, in the churches all around the earth, by exchanging videos among the churches. This was a proposal of Brother Lee about 10 years ago. And not much has been done. But that's a suggestion. In some places they did. We just have to be careful not to make actors out of the children. That's the only thing. Not to let them perform. But if we can do it in a way that doesn't make them self-conscious, then we can share with one another how we're handling the children's work. Then train the serving ones. That's what we're doing this weekend. Train the parents and the serving ones. So there needs to be some training. When I was in business, my boss was a trustee of the Garden City Congregational Church on Long Island, a very big church, liberal to the uttermost, not even believing in God. Just a liberal church of very upper class people, a bank president, lots of, corporation presidents on Long Island. And they had their children's meeting, their Sunday school, right? They call Sunday school. Listen, they required everyone who served to have a 3-month training, one night a week for 3 months before they would let anyone serve with their children. How about that? These are liberals. They don't even believe in Jesus as the Son of God or in His redeeming blood. And they're so strict before they let anybody work on the children. We're trying to drag anybody in. Just to get bodies. What a shame. What a shame. It's just a shame to us. Isn't it worthwhile to be trained to serve the children? I believe so. Okay, then present the burden to the parents and the whole church. And Broly said to have conferences from time to time. That's what we're doing this time. To present the burden to the parents and the whole church. And we have had opportunities from time to time to share with the whole church our burden for the children. And we've done it with the different language groups as well. Okay, that's the Lord's Day children's meetings. Neighborhood children's meetings. Open up the homes of all the brothers and sisters to have children's meetings. Okay, I think here, let me read. I have a rough translation of something, of a message Broly shared on June 2nd, 1985 in Taipei, in Chinese. And somebody made a rough translation. And I'd just like to read some of this to you, because this comes both to the Lord's Day Children's Meeting and the Neighborhood Children's Meetings. Broly said, tonight we have come to children's work. In our general concept, we don't regard too much about children. However, in the development of human society and cultural education till now, whether in the aspect of society or education, we all regard the children very much. We know that if the education of the children is not successful, the society will not be well, and we begin to pay notice to the children. That means after we get trouble, then we pay attention to them. From our experience, we feel that the children are really important. The children's work is not only taking care of them for the parents while the brothers and sisters come to the meetings, but due to the fact that when the brothers and sisters come to the meetings, they have to bring their children, it becomes necessary to provide child care generally. In view of today's situation, there has to be another function of the children's work besides just child care, which is to bring up our children. He said, children are a large object of the gospel. We only care to preach the gospel to the adults and disregard that the children are also the fruits of the gospel. Then he shared how he mentioned to the church in Taipei years ago that if they would gain the children, they could be guaranteed 10% increase year by year just from our own children. And if you figure it out statistically, it's accurate. Okay, then he said, then the saved children will become the seeds of the gospel in junior high and high school. Then they'll bring their classmates. So there'll be a continual increase through the children's work. They may bring some classmates to be saved in junior high. After graduation, they go into high school to become the seeds of the gospel in high school. After high school, they go to college. They become the seeds of the gospel in college. This kind of multiplication is tremendous. Let us say that we count these children from the age of 6 when starting their school, and they all have been saved during the 6 years in children's meeting. Then they enter junior high school. They all have been saved before junior high. Then they enter junior high while still being led by us. After passing through 3 years in junior high, 3 years in senior high, 4 years of college, they have altogether received 16 years of spiritual education and rearing. They do not only receive 16 years of secular education, but they have also received 16 years of spiritual rearing. How worthwhile this work is. Then he talks about, after university, 2 years of full-time. Okay, and this is talking about the full-time. Please consider, these brothers and sisters have learned their spiritual education for 16 years, plus 2 years of full-time training. They will surely be different from the crowd when they go into society. How worthwhile is this kind of education and rearing? This will not only contribute tremendously towards the work of the Lord, it will also be a great beneficial contribution to human society and our country. It's not bad. Okay? There is also a side effect of the children's work. We know that children love to make friends, especially those from 6 to 12. They always go together like a school of fish. They may not listen to their parents, but they would listen to the words of their friends. Let these little children lead the other little children to sing some hymns and stir up the gospel function and preach the gospel to the children. Our purpose is not only the children, but we hope that by our children we can reach their parents and their brothers and sisters. Please do not say that we do not care for one or two. We should know the fact of gathering the drops to become a stream. If you don't care for one drop or two drops or all the drops, then eventually you will not have a stream. Therefore, in such a large church as Taipei, we have to make it work among the children. When they have become 5 or 6 years old, they'll bring in others. This shows us the importance of the children, that they affect a great deal on the development of the church, and we should never despise this. Our work with the children cannot be one-faceted. It must be multifaceted. The elements of place, time, date should all be many-fold. Then he goes on to talk about opening up the homes. When I fellowship with the brothers here, I've discovered a very beneficial advantage, which is similar to the way we preach the gospel. That is to open up the homes of all the brothers and sisters to have children's meetings. If you do have children, it will be up to you to open up the home or not. I feel it would be best for you to have the burden to open up your home. I definitely know that generally the older sisters have burdens for the children. If you older sisters have all your children raised and out of your household, only the couple is left at home, and the conditions permit, why would you not enjoy doing the children's work? When you open up your living room to invite 5 or 6 children from the neighbors to come, you can have a children's meeting in your home. If an old sister would open up her home once or twice a week to gather the children on Saturday afternoon during their day off and playing time, then she will have children's meeting at her home and would be in touch with the children's family unconsciously, so that the gospel is preached to their families and extends to their relatives. This is the principle of our gospel work. The more extensive it is, the better and wider the connection will be. On and on, the results will come. I wish the whole church were here tonight's fellowship and move on together. Okay, just in concluding, I wish you brothers and sisters can see that the principle we use to lead the children's work is many faceted. There will be many places, many meeting times, many ways, many teachers. In every way it's multifaceted, and we are not bound in any way. We only want to raise up the children and through them to bring in many children from unbelieving families, that the gospel will be preached to the unbelieving families. This action will benefit many aspects. I hope the brothers and sisters will not despise such a matter and also pray for this. If you have some strength, we hope you can join in. I particularly hope you older sisters with grown-up children would open up your homes once a week to gather some children in your house to have a children's meeting. This will not be very difficult to do. About the results, if we can do it long-term, we will surely reap the results. And this matter needs the cooperation from everyone. Anyway, that'll just give you a brief. This was the word that inspired us to pick up the matter of neighborhood children's meetings. And so we have been trying to practice this in Anaheim and in, I know, other places also. So let me just read through the outline. Open up the homes of all the brothers and sisters to have children's meetings. Start with your own children and our children's friends from school and from the neighborhood. Visit the neighbors and invite the mothers to bring their children. It's very interesting. The sisters will tell you. We have some neighborhood children. The mothers bring the children. Then while the sisters are speaking to the children, the mothers are listening too. You see? So they're very happy to come. Even some mothers volunteer to help. It's unsaved mothers. It's okay. In children's meeting, it's okay. In the neighborhood children's meeting, let them come and help. They prepare the snack. Obviously, they're not going to give the lesson to them, right? But they can prepare the snack. They can review the memory verse with them. This way, the word gets into them. What's wrong with that? Let them teach the memory verse. Okay, Brother Lee said, tell the parents what our purpose is. We shouldn't do anything in a hidden way or in a subtle way. Tell the children, and these are the three points, to help the children to be proper in their behavior, habits, and character so that they will become responsible adults and good citizens. Encourage the children to be good students in school, gaining the best education for their future so they'll be useful, productive members of society. And teach the children about God and the Bible. This is what we do, and we should tell the parents. We have in Anaheim prepared a little invitation, and we put these three points. Neighborhood children's meeting is to help the children to be proper human beings, to help them to get a good education, and to teach them about God and the Bible. A simple statement of what our purpose is, so everyone knows. Listen, if a parent sees that and likes it, those are the families we want. They want their children to be proper. You know, even in Southern California, there are parents who want their children to be proper. There are. There are. It's not all degraded. Okay. You see, meet regularly every week. You can't pick it up and put it down. You have to do it for a period of time in a consistent way. In the summertime with vacations and everything, or during the holiday training times when we may take a break for a few weeks, that's okay. But it should have a definite schedule, not hit or miss. Sing lively action songs and choruses. Tell Bible stories in an interesting way with a definite point. Memorize basic Bible verses. Tell stories with a clear point concerning proper behavior, habits, and character. Through the children, gain the households by visiting the parents with the gospel. Our neighborhood children's work has the children as the means, and we work on that, but our goal eventually is to gain the households. We have the child. Now we want to have more contact by visiting the parents, go and talk with them about the children, talk with them about what they're interested in, gradually warm them up so that this will produce warm doors for the gospel. Okay? And we have been beginning to gain some households with the gospel through the neighborhood children's meetings. Okay, that's the second kind of meeting. Lord's Day children's meetings, neighborhood children's meetings. Then the third, other meetings such as children's conference meetings, summer camp meetings, etc. And the sisters will say something about this. Okay, Romans 4, carry out all the meetings in a definite way. Each meeting must have a definite time, a definite goal, a definite plan, and a good atmosphere. The atmosphere is very, very important. It has to be very enjoyable for them to come. Not loose, but not oppressive. Right? Not loose. There has to be a kind of order. They have to do things in a proper way, but with a very good, pleasant atmosphere. So everything has to be definite. A definite time, a definite goal, definite plan, and a good atmosphere. Children are a large object of our gospel work. They need to be saved and brought into the church life. Gather the drops to become a stream. They need to be brought to know and love the Lord. Then they become the seeds of the gospel in elementary, junior high, and high school to gain their schoolmates. They become an important means for our neighborhood and community gospel work. Okay, then there's a supplement, which is a testimony of a brother in New York, his testimony concerning how his family came to the Lord's salvation through this kind of children's neighborhood children's meeting in the Brethren work in New York City in 1952. Okay, so that will be an encouragement to you. Okay, so I finished the outline. Now I want to read one thing, another thing from Life Messages, about the kind of meetings we have. It says, this is Life Message 13. And this is not in answer to a question. This is the section entitled The Vanity of, quote, a Good Time, unquote. In some of the churches, an atmosphere has come in encouraging the young people just to have a good time, singing, shouting, playing guitars. If this is your aim, how can the young people be solidly built up? Within a few years, the Lord's recovery will vanish. The church should be, number one, a home with a family. Number two, a school. Number three, a hospital. And number four, a camp to train an army. In the Lord's recovery, we do not want our meetings to be places of entertainment. That is the way of Babylon. If the young people are built up with the Word day after day, week after week, other serious-minded young ones will be attracted, and the future of the recovery will be very bright. I read this because even among us, there's been a tendency toward making the kids happy. Now, I'm not for making them unhappy, right? But our goal is not a good time to make them happy. We want them to be happy. We want to have a good atmosphere. But Brother Lee told us that beginning with the Lord's recovery in China in the early 1920s, he said, we made two decisions. Number one, we forsake the world and the ways of the world. Number two, we reject Christianity and the ways of Christianity. Christianity uses all kinds of means to have, quote, quote, a good time. But they lose their young people later. They lose them. That doesn't build up children and young people. Just this kind of so-called good time. Brother Lee's emphasis here is we need to build them up with the Word. Even our children. Of course it should be pleasant with a good atmosphere, right? We want them to enjoy the children's meeting. It shouldn't be oppressive and unpleasant for them. But this other way of having, I believe you know the difference. There is a line here. There is a line. And unfortunately, especially during the last storm, many things from Christianity were brought in, especially Dobson, psychology, and methods were brought in order to try to please the children, in order to try to have a quote, quote, good time. I even heard this word. This message was given in 1978. In 1988, I heard the same thing. Oh, the kids have to have a good time. This is the way of the world. This is the way of today. The world and Christianity are the same. Christianity's way is altogether worldly. Altogether worldly.
Amen.
Our way is with spirit and life, with the Word, especially with the Word.
Amen.
It doesn't mean they won't enjoy the children's meeting. They have to enjoy it. But this kind of, with the children or the young people, if the aim is just to have a good time, Brother Lee says, how can they be built up solidly? That's not our aim. Our aim is to dispense God into them. We have to be very clear. Then the means must match the aim. Certain things will not dispense God into them. Certain things will give them a taste for entertainment, for pleasure, for looseness. Anything that doesn't give them a taste for God. Anything that will not lead them along this pathway to our goal. This doesn't mean we have to have, you know, okay, you know, you have to, it's not an oppressive atmosphere. No, no, no. It doesn't mean that. I told you the story with the junior high when I took it over. Within 2 or 3 months, the number more than doubled. They love to come in a proper, healthy, positive, structured environment with some proper order, some proper arrangement, but a real infusing, good singing, some good reading of verses, memorizing verses. Listen, there's something in the children that responds to this. We think we can please them by going along with them, but the more we go along with them, the more unhappy they are. That's because our going along with this looseness doesn't please them deep within. They have a God-created nature inside of them that is not satisfied with looseness, that is not satisfied with just fun and games all the time. No, we have a serious purpose to do. Our time with them is very limited in the children's meeting or in the neighborhood children's meeting. Either the Lord's Day or neighborhood children's meeting. The time is limited, a couple hours a week. But listen, a couple hours a week, 50 weeks in a year, that's 100 hours a year. You have to think, we can do a lot in 100 hours. It's just once a week. But we have to use the time profitably. Suppose we waste half the time fooling around with them. Then we've lost 50 hours. We've lost half the time. You have to realize, 100 hours a year, 50 weeks in a year, 2 hours, say. Say we have them 2 hours. That's 100 hours. 10 years, that's 1,000 hours. That's a lot. If we are really focused and really clear with a definite plan, dispensing the Lord's Word into them, training them, teaching them, infusing them, for 1,000 hours, they will be different. They will be different. We have to have this kind of view. So I like to just point this out. We do not want our meetings to be places of entertainment. That is the way of Babylon. We have to build them up in the Word, week after week, year after year. Then they will be attracted, and other serious-minded ones will be attracted, and the future of the recovery will be very bright. Okay, so I think I did my job this afternoon. Now I'm going to ask the sisters to come and tell us something about opening time, about lessons, about crafts, about neighborhood children's meetings, and about summer camp, which I don't know anything about. So I'm happy that Sister Hallie Williamson is here from Seattle, and she has been helping some of the churches in the Northwest and in Colorado and Denver to have summer camp for children. I know some of you have also done this. But I would like them this afternoon to share a little on their experience with these different aspects of the meetings. Amen. Okay. Come. You're all going to come together? That's good. What should we do with this? We just put this on the table. Okay.
Many of us will replace Dean.
Okay. You just stand there. I think if I just put this here. Let's see. Let me do this so that it's up. I'm just going to do this so that it's up like that. There we go. Okay. Now, I think that'll be fine.
Okay. First, we want everyone to stand up. Put your things on your seat.
Welcome to children's meeting.
Okay. If you know this song, sing along. If not, you follow the motion. Okay. I need your help.
Okay.
Who made the world so big and round? God is the creator. Who made the flowers in the ground? God is the creator. Who put the stars up in the sky? Who made the little birds to fly? Did you do it? No.
I think the word says everything just in that one word. Most of all, it implies that something is closed to begin with.
Right.
And this is what's happening. When these kids come in and on the Lord's Day morning, most of them come in closed. It might be they fought with their brother or sister that morning. It might be their mom made them wear a dress they hate. It might be that they just have been playing with their friends all week and they've just been hardened by the world. And so we want to open them up. You know, this is our experience as adults. When we come to a meeting, generally we're tired. We don't have an appetite for the Lord. There's nothing in us that wants to come, but somehow we know if we get there, we'll feel better. And generally, we're opened when we get there by singing.
Right.
And this is the time we use with the kids to do the same thing. We're opening them. We're softening them so that when the word comes for the lesson, they're prepared. They're open to what they're going to hear. They're not coming in a hardened way and then just having to take something. They've been warmed up first. And this is the whole purpose of opening. And so if you have no other view at all, this is what you're after, is that you would warm them up and open them up. basically, it's fairly simple, but the main thing I wanted to stress is content. It's not just a matter of coming and having a good time singing. You know, you need to be careful about what you choose to sing. I've been involved in singing songs about calling, oh Lord Jesus, oh it makes your spirit strong. Well, it has nothing to do with a child. We might enjoy it as an adult, but a child doesn't know what it is to call on the Lord, and it doesn't make their spirit strong. So no matter how much fun they have bringing to their spirit, it's not going to work. And so really be careful about the songs that you choose. Our experience has been that if you have a song that is the word, you're safe. You know, so many of the verses have been put to music over the years, and these are ones that we really rely on. Oftentimes you can put your memory verse to a tune, and even the verse that we had last night, I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day. There's a tune to that verse. And that's the only way I ever learned that verse was by singing it. So really, this is what's happening for the children. You look back on your own history, and it's the song that you can remember. And this is what we want to do for the children, too. The other thing is having a song that has to do with your lesson. We've been very lucky in Anaheim, because we've been coming up with some outlines during the summer, and we have a brother in Long Beach that's been writing the songs to match our outlines. And if those kids learn the songs, they've got the outline in them. You don't even have to give a lesson, really. It's wonderful. But those songs stay with them their whole life.
Right.
And so if you can do this, I'm on third through fifth grade girls, and this year we're doing God's Calling in the Old Testament. And all we're after is just that one day God would call them.
Amen.
So we have a song that says, the Bible tells the people who God called to be part of his great economy. God was calling then, and God is calling now, and one day he'll call me.
Amen.
So every week they're singing this song, and as we take a new person, we're adding a new verse. And so we're building a songbook based on our lesson plan. And you know, you don't have to have talent or ability. Our songs are very, very simple. But you do have to be faithful.
Amen.
Amen. So this basically is really what opening is. You know, Wednesday night I was so touched because we came into the meeting and it was the song we sang was All Sufficient Grace.
Amen.
Well, then Brother Lee continued to talk about grace.
Right.
You know, that song was picked for a reason.
Right.
We were open to grace that night through the singing.
Right.
And this is what's happening in children's meeting. If we can open them through the singing, then they're ready for the lesson.
Amen.
Amen. I'm supposed to talk about the lesson in 5 minutes. So I brought my partner with me. She's the one that has the schooling, so I've just had the experience. But I would just like to say this, out of many, many years of giving lessons to children, the main thing that it has boiled down to now after all these years is to have one goal. You get a burden, one aim, even for the whole year. We go like from September till June. And if you have one goal, one aim, you can be assured that the children will get that at the end of that time. And we realize this is no small thing because Brother Lee, how many times he repeats over and over again to us. And we don't get it until, who knows how many times he hits that nail on the head. And then finally we say, oh, you know.
Yeah.
So we realize in our lesson time that we need to do the same kind of simple way. I felt over the years I was too high, too complicated, too spiritual. You know, tried to get so much in them and thought that they were getting everything. And then when you go ask them a few years later, what are you impressed with? And it's zero. So I just really began to repent before the Lord because I realized we need to be simple. With children, they need repetition. And for instance, I was asked while we were over at the child's center, about the curriculum that we use, and I just would like to tell you it's the outlines that Jean did several years ago, that 8 lessons. And I don't want to confuse it with a lot of other things that I know some of you have gotten in a big black book from Texas. And there were many, many things that were gathered together at that time. But his curriculum had a specific goal for each level, starting from, well, actually, he started from the sixth grade going down to the young ones. And there were about 8 lessons, and each one, starting with creation, creation, man and God's creation, the Ten Commandments, God's calling in the Old Testament, God's calling in the New Testament, Jesus meets all man's needs, and then coming to the truth and experience of God's salvation. I'm missing one, but I couldn't remember what it was. But anyway, if you take one thing just as an example, man and God's creation, you could take the theme of God made me special. And then you begin to show them that they're different than the animals, they're different, you know, than everything around them that God has made, and yet God made man, and he's very special. And he made him in a special way. Right now, we're into all the body and how it operates in a very simple way, though. But that's our goal. So that's what I mean. If we have one goal or one aim, it becomes like a thread through the whole year.
Right.
And everything that you're speaking, each lesson you're speaking, has that same thread. And by the end of the time, they get it. And that's what we're really for, to infuse them. Then we really emphasize in our lessons and relate to that goal over and over again. We're just planting the seed. That's the main thought. But God, you know, we really want them to know God, not just the body and not just the outward things, but or just creation. But we want them to know what God has done for them.
Amen.
And we try to direct the lesson to the children's level and need of where they are. For instance, if you're talking to them about something at home, you don't just relate what you would do, but you relate what the child has done, something, you know, disobeying the parent or something. You try to relate it to something that they know about. And the main thing that I want to speak about is that we be simple and that we relate it to a specific goal and take that through the whole time.
And in giving the lesson, one of the important parts is to interact with the children. You're not just talking at them, but you're trying to get a response from them. You're asking them questions, you have visual aids, you have pictures, you have a flannel board, you can use all kinds of things, objects, to catch their attention. So that they're actively participating in your lesson. They're not just sitting there. Because if they're just sitting there and you're talking at them, pretty soon they'll be looking at the ceiling, at the wall, at the bug on the floor, whatever. And they won't be attending to you. So they need really to be a part of the lesson that you're giving. Also, in giving the lesson, it's good to have an introduction. You want a way to give them a reason to listen to you. You want to catch their attention. So whether that's giving them a question that they will have to answer at the end of the lesson, that will be answered in the lesson in order so they have to listen to you to find the answer and they know you're going to ask for it later, or whether that's putting scrambled words on the board that relate to the lesson, whether that's explaining keywords or words that they'll find difficult that you may talk about in the lesson, all of those set them up and give them a focus when you're starting the lesson. Also, at the end of the lesson, you need to have some kind of a conclusion, some kind of a review, reviewing what you've already covered, the main points, keywords, because you're trying to find out what they actually got from the lesson. Actually, this is a big help to the teachers, because if all they're responding is your stories or your little anecdotes that you gave during the lesson and they didn't get the main point, you're going to find out at the end of the lesson when you question them, when you ask them about the lesson. So it's a good time to find out what they're really getting from the lesson in that conclusion time.
Craft. Hallelujah for craft. Craft
is not a time filler.
Right.
I wrote down some adjectives of what we do when we do craft. Craft is the means to have a hands-on experience to teach them character.
Okay.
And you heard all about character this morning, right? Well, most of you went over to the preschool room. Everything you saw over there was decoration. That wasn't mostly craft. But the craft, I'm going to read you some words. This is what is gained when a child uses their hands, uses all their faculties to create something. First of all, they have to listen to what the teacher says. And in preschool, that's all we do, keep repeating the same thing. Don't glue the whole thing. Don't eat the glue stick. Well, preschoolers can only do basically two things. They can glue everything in sight and they can put stickers on. So they're very limited. They also learn to follow directions. In kindergarten, the teacher spends almost the whole time trying to get these children to follow directions. They learn to be accurate. They learn patience. They learn endurance, especially for the boys. You give the boys a craft, flip, flop, flop, they're done. They don't care. They don't, you know, they're out of there. They learn judgment. They learn, what I mean by judgment, they learn after working with things after a while that first things go first or it doesn't come out the way they want it to. They learn to be neat. They learn to be precise. They learn to use their imagination. And in a world of multimedia and television, children don't get these experiences very many places, unless all you saints are working on craft at home, which I doubt. When they're working in a group situation, they learn to share, they learn to be cooperative, they learn consideration, and they learn self-control. And all these adjectives that I just read, don't you wish that from 3 years old somebody had been working with you and you had all these character traits added to you? That's what we're doing there. We're not there in a loose way. I just brought two crafts up. We found a book that had about 40 animal hats in it. And because I'm working on creation, this is a crocodile. And because I'm with preschool, they only can glue one or two things on. So we prepare almost the whole craft, and they put the eye on, and that was just about it. And then they wear this around. That's the way it is. This is also a Kleenex box, and this took 2 weeks of preparation for one Sunday. All they did was glue on the eyes and the nose. And they all took one of these home. And this was their craft. With preschool, they don't need to make a model from beginning to finish. They couldn't anyway. They can't manipulate scissors. They can't do hardly anything. But I can tell you this personal experience. The more if I have the lesson, the more I labor on the lesson, the more my spirit is strong.
Right.
If I have the craft, and I did work 2 weeks on this, the stronger my spirit was. I come in there Sunday morning, I'm ready. I'm ready for those 21 little wild kids that are going to come. Because I have been laboring. Another thing I want to say is don't start Saturday night and walk around and go, oh, I have craft this morning. Now tomorrow morning, what am I going to do? You know, I've done this, and it's terrible. You can't think of anything on Saturday night for Sunday morning. You have got to start early in the week and be planning. Your two best sources are probably a child learning store, a center, and the library. And a library card doesn't cost anything in your city. Get a library card. There are all kinds of books. There are all kinds of ideas. But craft is not a wasted time.
Right.
This is the time that they are learning hands-on how to have self-control. And we're there, and we're teaching them that with craft. So it is not just a waste of time. I just want to give you this testimony. We worked in San Francisco for 8 years with around 30 children. And a couple years ago, we saw one of these girls that we had there. And she had just got married and had a couple of babies. And she said to me, "Oh, Ruth, do you remember this really neat box that we made, and we made this thing?" She said, "I still have those crafts." And she is not in the church life. And she doesn't even hardly know what the church life is. But she came to us in children's meeting. I couldn't even remember what she was talking about. I mean, we have decorated so many boxes, you know. 15 years of making pretty boxes, so I didn't even remember what she was talking about. But that was so meaningful to her, and I think she still had a plaque that we had done a scripture verse on. And she kept trying to get me to remember this. But it is not in vain.
Right.
If this is done unto the Lord, it's not in vain.
Amen.
And also the children, there's one thing that they should get a genius medal in, and that is how to read people, because they can read you, especially their parents. But they can read you. If you come in unprepared and you just do a color of the zebra craft, and that's another thing. If you're just doing coloring every Sunday, it just shows that you have no burden and you have no vision. So we color. It isn't that we don't color. In fact, we're doing a coloring craft tomorrow. But it's not something we hardly ever do. We usually do hands-on things. But they can tell if it's a neat craft. Actually, personally, I don't care if the craft goes home and goes in the trash. Personally, I don't care. But I just care that this ministers something to this child. And this thing says, we care about you. We spent 4 hours cutting all these out. And they can tell that. They know if they're just getting a coloring class every week that these teachers really aren't too serious about this. So I know a lot of saints, when we divide up the time, some would rather take a lesson than they would the craft, because the craft actually takes more time, because you have to cut out 25 or 30 or whatever it is. So, but I just want to encourage you to collect materials, and materials are being collected for the preschool level. I don't know, you know, and we want to work on the other levels, but it is not in vain. These are our precious church children.
Amen.
And they are like greenhouse flowers.
Yes.
And to let them go through a hole in the pipeline is sheer folly. And one thing I just really appreciated about this pipeline is we don't have to control the whole line, the whole pipe. You know, my part is just preschool. I just have to get them excited about coming into that room and making something and seeing all these things that God made. And that's all I have to take care of. And I can do that. I don't have to worry about what happens in kindergarten so much, unless they switch me to another level. But I just come in and I give it everything I've got. Sometimes I go home from there and I go straight to bed, because I gave it everything I got. But those children know that. And they will never, ever, ever forget what you have done for them.
Okay, how about Malcolm tell us about the boys' craft?
Amen.
Tell us what you do with the boys. 3 to 5.
Great. Okay. I'm serving with 3rd through 5th grade boys.
Right.
And I'd underline everything that they said, what Gina shared before about the matter of character. When you put these kids in front of a craft that you prepared for them to do, and everything, you know, this is not the lesson where they're forced to sit down in the seat and sit so well. Everything comes out of what they are. And this is the time to deal with whether they're pushing or shoving one another. This is the time to channel their energy. This is the time to help them work together, to follow instructions. They're learning to listen, like the sister shared. To work on their character is something very, very crucial to their being useful for the Lord. I can just share this one thing about this matter. I owe a lot. This will tie in with the next one that's going to share. I owe a lot to a young Christian man that picked me up when I was young, about 10 years old, and took me to I grew up in a rural area, took a group of us boys to a little cabin out on a ranch. It was a wine cabin. And we would sit there and read the Bible. That's all we did. We'd read a chapter in the Bible, and then we'd make models. And a lot that I learned that is beneficial, I served the stream in taking care of the maintenance. And a lot of what I learned of how to manipulate things and do things and fix things and follow instructions came from that time of building models.
Amen.
So this is something for my personal character that I can testify came from learning to do crafts.
Amen.
Okay. Another thing is, Ruth mentioned a little bit, a lot of our crafts, we try to get the word in front of them. A very quality craft that takes them some time to do, but they can learn diligence by sanding, by having to complete this craft, to work on it for some time, to do a good job. Some kids are very fast, and you have to get them to slow down and do it right. And other kids are so slow that you have to help them to try and speed up. And, you know, this is all the things you have to deal with. But another important part is to get the word in front of them. So we try to do plaques with verses on them that are good enough, stained, sanded, framed, calligraphy, that they can put on their wall that they'll be seen for some time. Amen.
So you can see here the difference between the preschool crafts and the third through fifth grade. You see, there's a development as we go along. It has to be age appropriate, right? But with third through fifth grade boys, a craft can take a number of weeks to complete. And that teaches them patience and endurance. And as Malcolm said, they have to learn to be very particular and produce something. We're not satisfied for them just to hammer two pieces of wood together and say that's a craft. No, it has to be presentable, especially with the older boys. So craft is very good for character. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Okay, the next point is on neighborhood children's meetings.
Amen.
And I just wanted to start by reading. This is from Talks Concerning the Church Services, and Brother Lee gave this here in Anaheim in 89. And this was, when he spoke this was very inspiring to me. I just want to read a little bit. That even in our neighborhood, there must be a children's meeting that should not be considered as a children's meeting of the church. This is a children's meeting work in the saints' neighborhood. We can collect a number of children out of our neighborhood into our home. All of these children are linked to their parents. So through the children, many homes will be open for the church to evangelize. This is the community work. These are the warm doors, and the parents will welcome us. Although people today are occupied by many things, and it seems as if they are not open to the gospel, the best way to overcome this is to have a children's meeting in our own home. Anyway, this really inspired me to open up our home for a children's meeting. We've had a children's meeting in our home now for about 5 years, and it is really worthwhile. Anyway, there's a lot of things. I don't know how to start, but I just felt for myself as a mother with little children. Brother Lee has always spoken as far as the gospel. We work with the ones we run into, we contact. And as a mom with children at school, I knew the moms at school and things like that. So I really started with my own children and their friends and the moms at school, and it was a good way to contact them. And I felt like this was my field of labor. This was where I was, and this is who I ran into, so this had to be my gospel contact. Anyway, we began this way, and now, I mean, after doing it this long, it's a long-term project. And many times it's wearing, but you just really, like you said, you have to have the faithfulness. You have to continue. At this point, I feel like we are very burdened for the families, but also for the children. I feel like if I were to stop now, these girls would have nowhere to go. They'd have nothing. They couldn't get the Lord without us. Mm-hmm. And I'm so burdened, even like Jean was sharing about the pipeline, we need to add to the pipeline.
Right.
And from my neighborhood, I can add to this pipeline.
Right.
Anyway, this is the first year we have some sixth graders, girls, and we have all girls. And we really are burdened to pray and that they would be saved this year, possibly go to the sixth grade mountain trip, and really become attached and in the pipeline of the church life. You know, I appreciated that our goal is not just for this little thing, you know. We're not here for our neighborhood children's meeting. It's for the pipeline, to add them to the body. Anyway, a couple points. We have one mother that comes. She not only brings her child, her children, but she comes, she copies down all our songs. They go home, they sing. Her child knows every verse, her verse every week. Just so faithful.
And not a church family.
Yes. We have, anyway, we have a number, only three church families and about 7 or 10 families that we're touching outside the church life. Anyway, another family, just to give you some examples, another family we're contacting, they're Catholic and their children, they have two girls that have been coming now for a couple of years, and she says, she has come over to us and said she cannot believe how much her children have learned at our house. And that they don't want to go to catechism. They want to come to our house. And she's even talked to the catechism director that she wants him to come over and see our neighbor's children to see how to do it. You know? Anyway, it hasn't transpired. I hope it never does. Anyway, the kids, they go to church, I guess, and they'll be talking about some subject, and the kids will say, I learned that over at our house, and they'll tell them more. And so the mother is just amazed at how much they learned. Then I just found out last week, her flesh sister, is a Christian and has been burdened for her, and has tried to speak to her, and she said I just met her last week, and she told me she felt God arranged all this, because what she has never been able to do, we've been able to do, to touch her through the children. Anyway, I just was encouraged. You just don't know who you will touch and who you will run into, and how much the Lord's already prepared in these families. Another case was a mother who, she grew up and her own mother had 5 or so husbands, and she, as a young girl, she was always seeking and always went to churches to try to find the Lord. Anyway, eventually, in a home, she received the Lord. Now she has children, and she's brought them to us, and she's so happy to bring them to a neighborhood, they call it their Christian class, to bring them to us so they could be infused with something of God because of her background. Anyway, there's many, many things, but I just, mainly, it's really a long-term process. Now, and it's really a labor. And now we're working on more focusing on getting into the families, especially since we have sixth graders that we hope we can get saved and baptized. So I know we will be touching more and more of the parents. Dennis may have...
This is where the focus that, because the parents now have the confidence to come to send their children to our homes, there's some trust there, you know. The proper parents are very careful in where they will send their children. So now our home is somewhat reputable in the neighborhood, that it's a safe home and they can come there. So this is where the fathers or the husbands can make part of this net. It is not just the wives and the mothers take care of the children, but we as the fathers and the husbands, our responsibility, our job is to work on the fathers.
Right.
This is my job.
Right.
And it's not as, you know, with the mothers, of course, their interest is a lot with the children. With the fathers, it's primary other things. And so my job is to go and visit and to have some interest. At least we have now a common ground to speak.
Yeah.
And so this is what we're doing. We feel like we're going on to the next stage. We've developed something. We have a foundation. Now our burden is to go and to bring households into the church.
Right.
Not just, of course, not just the young children, for their own sakes, of course, for the future, what they're getting now, they will never forget. But we are also concerned in this country. Just to go cold door knocking is maybe not that easy, but at least we can get something from the households.
Right.
Today the whole attack is on the households, so we like to gain the households.
Right.
And it just turns out in our particular neighborhood children's meeting that all the ones who come primarily are from the same, they have the same parents. There's not so much complications in the household. And so these are proper families, even in Anaheim. Even right here in Anaheim, there's a proper family. It's quite amazing. And so they somewhat gravitate towards our home. We practice opening our home for them to come in. And Janine makes it a policy. She has to meet the mothers and know the family before they're allowed to come. Just to see. We're not a humane society here, just opening our doors to everyone. But we are concerned about even the ones who come into our home. So my part and our function, and when you have a neighborhood children's near part, the brothers, we also should get involved as a kind of a support and also as a way to contact the fathers in a gospel way.
Okay, I'm here to talk about the Bible camp. In 1988, a brother in the locality that I was in mentioned to a couple of us sisters that maybe it would be good to do something with the children this summer. So we thought, oh, sure. And we just thought, okay, well, what will we do? We'll do the Eight Great Men. So we did the Eight Great Men that first summer, really not having any long-range view at all. We didn't even think about the next summer until it came around. And then we realized, oh, we're doing this. So we fellowshipped with some different saints to get, as Gene shared, to have a clear view and a definite plan. And so over the last number of years, 7 years, we've put together through the fellowship, we have a definite plan, and our plan is to go through the Old Testament. At least in the Northwest, the children from children's meetings have quite a handle, because of children's meetings, on the New Testament, but they didn't know much of anything related to the Old Testament. So that's where we started. We look at this time, it's like vacation Bible school or day camp, or as far as a slot for you to put this in. It's a week long in the summer. The first year that we did it for 2 weeks for a half a day. And we did preschool to seventh grade. That time frame was a good time frame. I think the kids they retain more over a half a day for 2 weeks. But because of the summer school and other things, we don't have 2 weeks. So we've shortened it to one for a full day, from 9 to 4. And like the sister shared related to the preschool, since almost all they can do is glue, they don't even know how to line up at the door. We don't do preschool anymore. You have gone into kindergarten already. So the summer that they come out of kindergarten, they can come to the Bible camp. And it's something that now all the kids look forward to. They know when I'm done with kindergarten, I get to go to the Bible camp. And then we carry it through going into seventh. So the going into seventh get a double portion, because they can go to the Bible camp and then 3 weeks of the summer school. Let's see. In our time, we've had some definite goals, and all of the things that that we do in the Bible camp are very similar to all the things the sisters already shared.
We have an opening time, we have lessons, we have stories, we do crafts for all the same reasons that the sisters already shared about. Our goal was that the children would become familiar with the stories in the Old Testament. And the very first year, we've made a lot of mistakes over time. And the first one we made was related to the curriculum. And that year we did the eight great men, and with the oldest class, which is 5th, 6th, and 7th, the one serving in that grade did some spiritual application to the stories of the Old Testament. The kids got nothing that whole time. When it was over, those kids didn't even know who Noah was because they were so confused with trying to get some spiritual application related to the flood and the ark and the church and stuff. So we don't do any spiritual application at all. These are children, and all we do is we want them to know. I know that Gene has shared some of the kids. Our young people come to the full-time training, and they don't know the stories in the Old Testament.
Right.
And then they have to make up a lot of time. So we just want them to know all the stories and what happened and who these people are. But along with that, we pick a theme, like the sisters shared, that ties that group of stories together so that when they're done, they have something. Like one year we did, there is one God. And so all the verses we memorized and all the songs we sang had to do with there being one God. But all of our story, all of the Bible lessons were from Joshua, Judges, and Ruth that year. And when it was over, the children knew there is one God. So that's been a big help to come up with to have a solid theme.
Right.
But we have now some good material. The sisters, the saints here, have been doing something similar with the Old Testament in the summer. And the themes are very solid, something to take and work off of. Then the other thing is we wanted the children just to become familiar with how to handle the Bible. That a lot of the kids, they don't know, you know, that this is a chapter and this is a verse. But because they grow up in the church, we think they know everything. And we just say, you know, look this up, and it takes forever. Because they don't know even that that book is in the Old Testament. So we work a lot with memorizing the books and doing Bible drills and games and that kind of thing. Another thing is we want to cultivate in the children, and I think that we have with this time, a positive attitude towards the church, towards the saints, towards the Lord. Like Gene said, we really need to infuse into the children, infuse them with what we're doing here. Even just an impression, they get an impression if they have a good time. We want them to enjoy being together. Anyway, I could go on, I won't. But then, again, we feel like this is a crucial part of the church service. Because during this time, firstly, we are able to use all of our high school kids. I work at the high school, so then I tell them, you know, we're doing the Bible camp, why don't you guys serve? And they do. And they come, it's the week before the summer school where we are, and so they are occupied for 4 weeks straight if they serve in the Bible camp. And most of them do, and they're a big help. The children love the high schoolers. And then it gives us an opportunity to show the high schoolers how to serve. And also, it gives them the opportunity to serve with saints that they wouldn't normally come in contact with in the church life. Okay. Then also, as the sister said, we're burdened for our own children. And we're burdened that they would know who they are, that they are God's, and they're different from the world. In one particular locality that we do the Bible camp, we reach a lot of the dormant saints because they're concerned for their children, even though they don't come to the meetings. So the saints call them and they send their kids. And at the end of the Bible camp, we have a parent night. And in this place, we have a barbecue. And so it's a nice hour of informal. All the families are there. Then the kids, they perform, so to speak. They recite their verses. And the parents are just shocked. They can't believe that their, you know, six-year-old can say five verses that they learned that week. Anyway, it's a good time. It's a good time to touch the saints that are not meeting that regularly. Then also the neighbors and the relatives. We've already talked about that. Then another thing is we make sure that those that are going into seven haven't slipped through the cracks related to having a definite salvation. And so we speak with them. And in one place, again, we take the names of those kids specifically and pray for them that they would know, either one, that they are saved if they have had an experience already, or two, that they would be open to receive the Lord. And we pray for them and then make a definite time. And by the end of the Bible camp, they're very, very open.